And now we have our first reading.
Morning, everyone. The reading is it's on page 971 of our Bibles. It's Matthew chapter 7, and it's verses 7 to 12. Ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives. He who seeks finds, and to him who knocks, the door will be opened. Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your Father in heaven will give good gifts to those who ask him. So in everything, do to others what you would have them do to you. For this sums up the law and the prophets. This is the word of the Lord.
Welcome, it's lovely to be with you. And I'm not going to promise to be Mac Jethro, and I'm not Ooarin, which I thought was brilliant last week. You've just got me, Carol. And I'm going to try and do my best about this next part in the series that we're looking at. And of course, as you've heard from our theme, it's about prayer. And I don't know whether you notice, but almost 80% of our service sheets, if you look at them, surrounds prayer. So even if you think, I find it pretty difficult, when you look at your service sheet, you're doing it. You're praying. So just think about that. Because prayer is part of almost every culture. And of every religion. And even devout atheists find themselves praying to God when they're desperate. Lots of people pray, but there is something wonderfully distinctive about the heart of Christian prayer. And for Christians, prayer shouldn't be and isn't a ritual to be performed. It's an attempt to get God's attention or persuade God to help us. Now, when Christians pray, we are enjoying a family relationship. And that is the heart of Christian prayer. Look with me at that quote from Paul's letter to the Romans. It's in your booklet. So that piece then from Romans, which Paul says, you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received the spirit of sonship. And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. For those who trust in Jesus, God has adopted us as his children. And prayer is how children talk with their Heavenly Father. And that's how most prayers begin. That's the prayer that Jesus taught us, our Father in heaven. And over the next few minutes, hopefully we'll unpack those first few words of the Lord's Prayer. So first of all, we're going to look at those words, Our Father. Now, if you've got your booklet open, hopefully you've got a very clear picture there of someone who we all probably know or knew. JF Kennedy was one of the most powerful men in the world, especially in his day. And getting an audience with him would have been almost too much for any normal person to dream about. But look at that famous picture. And at his feet, you can see a very small person. That's his son, John Jr. And John Jr. had an extraordinary access to the president. Naturally, none of us can get anywhere near to God. He is the king of the universe. And the Bible makes that really clear, that we have each received him and opposed him in our lives. We can only get access to God if he graciously allows us. This is vividly illustrated in our Old Testament, where God gave his people a temple as a place where they could draw near to him. But only one person, and that was the high priest, could go into the very center of the temple. And that was only once a year, and only after a multitude of sacrifices. And if you're really interested, and you might like to look at the book of Leviticus, especially chapter 16, where you will find how that all works and exactly how you can access God. So if you find yourself with a spare moment, just flick that Bible passage up and have a look. But wonderfully, more wonderfully for us, Jesus, God's own Son, came and he changed all of that for us Christian believers. I'm just going to read a couple of verses from Hebrews. You don't have to look it up, but if you want to, it's on page 1208 of your Bibles. I'm reading just from verses 19 to 22. Therefore, brothers, since we have confidence to enter the most holy place by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way opened up for us through the curtain that is his body, and since we have a great priest over the house of God, let us draw near to God with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled to cleanse us from a guilty conscience, and having our bodies washed in pure water. So you see, we have access to our Father in heaven because Jesus wiped clean our sin and invited us to be God's children. And so that means that we can do exactly what verse 22 says, draw near to God with a sincere heart and full assurance of faith. When we pray as Christians, we can pray in absolute confidence that God, our Father, hears us. And the same kind of access that young John Jr. enjoyed with his father, the president, we too can enjoy with our Heavenly Father. And it's because Jesus made the ultimate sacrifice for you and for me on the cross. This is why Christians often end their prayers by saying, in Jesus' name. Because he's the one who made it all possible. He's the one that showed us how to pray in the first instance. There are a couple of implications here we can think about. First, it means that our sin is no barrier to prayer. Often at times, we mess up. We fail God. And it's easy to feel that we can't pray. We feel too guilty. But we need to remember that we can. And we need to pray with confidence. And not because of our own moral performance, but because of Jesus. So, I want to encourage you to keep on coming back to prayer. Pray confidently to God. It doesn't matter what you've done. He wants you to speak to him. Second, time and place. Now, that should not be a barrier for any of us. Prayer can be said at any time. You don't have to wait for Sunday to come here or any church that you might be going to. You don't have to do it in your bedroom, shut the door and think you need to be away from everybody. You could walk down the street and pray. I talk about my dogs. Well, I can tell you, God knows me well. And he knows the walks I do. And I am tuned in as soon as I hit that bit of grass. So there you go. That's one way I find to reach God, in that open air, in that freedom. You don't need a great cathedral. You don't need a secret place. God just wants you to pray. And we should pray whenever and wherever we can. And I'd like to encourage you too to make it a regular thing. Could be morning and evening. That's always a good time. Perhaps when you're just slipping into bed, instead of reading that book, have a word with God. Let him hear that you need to speak to him, that you're opening up those lines of communication. It might be because you're reading a Bible verse or a Bible passage. That's a good time to speak to God. Let that speak to you. So we know that there is sin, and that's not a barrier. And we know that time and place is also not a barrier. And as well as giving access, our Father loves to grant us requests. So in that reading from Matthew that Claire read to us, we see how in verses 7 and 8, our Father loves to grant our requests. And they're wonderful promises for us. In fact, they almost seem too good to be true. And therefore, Jesus tells a story. He says in verses 9 to 11, "Which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or, if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you then, though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him?" How much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? Parents, even with all our faults, know how to give good gifts to our children. How much more so God, who is perfect? It's worth noticing that Jesus talks about good gifts. We all know how small children ask for things which are not always good for them, like endless sweets, chocolates. But a loving parent will always listen to their requests. May not always grant them. And that can be said also of our God. Now, maybe you've been praying for God to provide a job or somebody to marry or healing of an illness. God doesn't seem to be answering. Well, according to the verses that I've just read, it's not because God is withholding good things from us. There's a story that a man who's child kept asking for ice cream, told him that when the van plays music, it means that the ice cream's run out. God isn't that cruel. No. Our Father may delay answering our prayers or answer them in an entirely unexpected way. It's because he's much bigger and he has a purpose in mind. Children can find that hard to understand, and I'm willing to bet that you and I find it hard to understand when something we're really praying for doesn't seem to have that immediate answer. And in fact, some prayers are unanswered. That may not make sense to us this side of heaven. But always remember this: God gave you and me Jesus, and he's giving us the very best thing now, too. As Paul writes to the Romans, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him. Now, in our passage from Matthew, did you spot the only condition of receiving the good things God has for us? Now, if you want to, you can turn to that page 971. It's at the end of verse 11. Can you see those words? Five small words. To those who ask him. Why does God, who knows what we need anyway, make it a condition that we ask? Because he is our Father, and we are his children. And his aim is not just to provide for us, but to grow a relationship with us. And how do we do that? We need to communicate. So often we lack things in our Christian lives simply because we fail to ask. I wonder whether you're feeling lonely this morning. Whether you're thinking, I haven't seen any friends, I'm really fed up. Are you battling with a sin? Have you asked for God's power to overcome that? We need to talk to our Father. And, by the way, it's a great habit to keep a note of those prayers that we ask God's help for. When we've done lots of different prayer events here, we often think about things that we want to ask God. I think in church you've probably seen sometimes we've come up with stickies that we've stuck on boards and what have you. When I've done a prayer event, I often have an envelope, people write in it something that they're thinking about or they need God to answer, and they put them in the envelope. I promise you, I've never opened any of those envelopes. I would love it if people told me that God had answered their prayers. I'm sure he has. But your secrets are still locked in those envelopes, but God knows what they are. So God is our Father. We are his children. And his aim is to provide for us. But in order to grow a relationship, we need to communicate with him. We need to talk to our Father, and we need to make it a good habit, a daily habit. If you do that, I think you'll find, surprisingly, maybe, but definitely, that he will answer your prayers. Maybe not in the way that you expect, Maybe not immediately, but he will answer your prayer. Kate is going to come and read to us from our Old Testament.
Thank you, Carol. We're reading from Isaiah chapter 40, verses 1 to 11, and you can find it on page 723. If you are a visual learner like me, you might like to follow along. I'm reminded that God's word is living and active, and even as I read this morning and thought about that, I felt really encouraged by these words. So let me read them to you. Verses 1 to 11. Comfort, comfort my people, says your God. Speak tenderly to Jerusalem and proclaim to her that her hard service has been completed, that her sin has been paid for, that she has received from the Lord's hand double for all her sins. A voice of one calling in the desert, prepare the way for the Lord, make straight in the wilderness a highway for our God. Every valley shall be raised up, every mountain and hill made low. The rough ground shall become level, the rugged places a plain, and the glory of the Lord will be revealed, and all mankind together will see it, for the mouth of the Lord has spoken. A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. You who bring good tidings to Zion, go up on a high mountain. You who bring good tidings to Jerusalem, lift up your voice with a shout. Lift it up, do not be afraid. Say to the towns of Judah, here is your God. See, the sovereign Lord comes with power, and his arm rules for him. See, his reward is with him, and his recompense accompanies him. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads those that have young. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Thank you, Katie. Do keep that page open on your Bibles. If you've closed it, it's 723. So let's move now to the second part of this first four words of the Lord's Prayer. We've talked about our Father, and now we're going to think about him in heaven. And because our Father is in heaven, he is in complete control. And to illustrate this point, we're going to take a quick look at some of those verses that Katie read to us from that passage in Isaiah. A father who is in complete control. Now, these words that Katie read to us, they were written in the 7th century BC. God is talking through the prophet Isaiah to foretell a future time when God would receive his people from exile. It's a tremendous chapter that points us to the coming of Jesus. But just for now, let's focus on a few of those verses where God wants to persuade his people that he is dependable. They can trust him to deliver. So in verse 12, you'll see those words. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand, or with the breadth of his hand marked off the heavens? Who has held the dust of the earth in a basket, or weighed the mountains on the scales and the hills in a balance? The great oceans of our world cover nearly 70%. And yet, 95% of them are and never will be explored, at least not by humans. Yet God holds them in the hollow of his hand. And to God, Mount Everest is like a lump of butter, the sort you weigh out for a cake. Let's look at verse 15. Surely the nations are like a drop in a bucket. They are regarded as dust on the scales. He weighs the islands as though they were fine dust. So the nations, well, they're just like a drop in a bucket. And all that vast nuclear artillery that we have in this world of ours is like a drop of water compared to God's might. And then in verse 26, lift your eyes and look to the heavens who created all these. He who brings out the starry host one by one and calls them each by name. Because of his great power and mighty strength, not one of them is missing. Astronomers may chart the wonders of the universe, but it was God who designed that universe. I hope you get the picture. Our Father God, is in complete control. Jesus put it like this. These words are in your booklet. Are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground apart from the will of your Father. And Paul, when he wrote to the Ephesians, said that God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine. When we pray, we are praying to a God who is in total control. And we are praying to a God who can and will achieve anything that he wants. And so that means that we need to be dependent on him. He is a father who we can be dependent on. Going back to that passage, verses 6 to 8, a voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? Oops, that's right. All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, and the flowers fall because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever. We may be as fragile as those dandelion clocks that we all encourage the children to blow. One breath and we're gone. He tends his flock like a shepherd. He gathers the lambs in his arms and carries them close to his heart. He gently leads them. We're hopeless as sheep. We need gathering in, and we need our God to lead us. We're human beings. We're much weaker, and we're more fragile than we think. But we have a God who is so dependable, and we can depend on him. And that's the point of verse 30. Even youths grow tired and weary, and young men stumble and fall. But those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar on wings like eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not be faint. I wonder, have you learned how much there is that you need to ask God's help for? Everything in life. And the more that I realize that, then the more I know I need to pray. I know I need to open up every area of my life to God. And the less I realize it, then the less I'll pray. We all need to depend on God our Father. Finally, if our Father is in heaven, it means his will is always best. A father whose will is always best is something to cling to. And so, thinking about that, the night before Jesus died was his most desperate. The thought of bearing the sin of the world, being cut off from his Father, was unbearable. But what did he do? He prayed. And it's an amazing prayer. He said these words, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me, yet not as I will, but as you will." Even in that most difficult of times, Jesus had complete confidence in his Father and in his Father's will. He knew that God's will was best. Jesus' prayer wasn't about getting his own way, but about aligning himself with his Father's perfect will. Prayer is not about me or you twisting God's arm to get our own way. It's about seeking God's good, seeking his good and perfect will, and then happily submitting to it, because when we pray like that, it leads to the most amazing peace. I love these words that are at the end of these notes. They're words in Philippians. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, with prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.
Great. Hopefully most of you have been here before. You've got a couple of minutes, a bit of music. Turn to someone near you or think to yourself about these questions. What's your experience of praying? And then we'll share at the end where we've got to. So have a little chat amongst yourselves. Okay. Any thoughts, suggestions, wisdom to share, questions on prayer, or from kind of the content of the talk? Thank you. So you said her experience of being prayed for. I mean, I think I've heard you talk about it before, but kind of being like being held or something, did you say? So when you're very uncertain, to know that your Christian friends, brothers and sisters are praying for you.